Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. We'd just like to invite you on up so you can worship with us. Come on. Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength, that He is enough to overcome the world. You're the joy no one can take away. Come on. You're the joy no one can take away. Say you are, and you're the strength I need. You will always, you're the. You're the joy no one can take away. You're the strength I need. Come on and clap with me, say. Come on, if you believe that the joy of the Lord is your strength, come on and lift your voice and say, yeah. Because guess what it does? Stronger, stronger. I'm getting stronger, the joy of the Lord, it makes me stronger, greater, greater, my God is greater, His power, it makes me stronger, I'm getting, say the joy, it makes me stronger, and greater, yeah, my God is greater, His power, it makes me, say it again. Hey, I'm getting stronger. Hey, yeah, it makes me stronger. And I'm better. I'm greater. My God is greater. His power. Come on, one more time. Say, hey, stronger, stronger. I'm getting, come on and jump with me. Hey, it makes me stronger, greater, greater. My God is greater. One more time. It makes me stronger. You're the joy no one can take away. And you're the, say you are. You're the strength I need. You will always be. You're the, hey. You're the joy no one can take away. And you're the, you will, come on and say, oh. on and say it with me. My strength. Come on, if you believe that, give God a shout. Come on, if you believe that he is your strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Man, I just love God. I just love God and I just want God. Come on, lift your hands and tell him you love him. Come on, Father, I love you. Father, I praise you and I worship you. Lord God, I praise you for you are. You got to believe that he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No other God can be called a father. Come on and sing that out. No other God can be called a friend. Yeah. No other God can be called redeemer. No other God is coming back again. Say how we love. Yeah. And how we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. We love your name. And how we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. Hallelujah. Come on, sing no other God. No other God can be called a. Yeah. No other God.
No other God can be called a friend.
No other God.
No other God can
be called redeemer. And I know that my God is coming. He's coming again. Come on and lift your voices and your hands and say how we love. Hallelujah. How we love your name, Jesus. You're the beautiful one. Come on, say how we love. Jesus, you're the beautiful one. And yes, I love your name. Say how we love. Hallelujah. How I love your name. You are God. Hey, say. And how we love you, King of Kings, how we love you. Say, Lord of Lords, Lord of Lords, how we love you, King of Kings, King of Kings, how we say, Lord of Lords, Lord, say how we love. Say, King of Kings, you are a Lord of Lords. Say how we love, King of Kings, how. Yeah, sing Lord of Lords. Hey, say, we love the fragrance of your holy name. Hallelujah. You came and
brought us into the reign of grace.
Yes, God. How we love. Say how we love. We love the fragrance. Hallelujah. We love the fragrance of you came. And we love the fragrance. Yeah. Come on. Can we sing this? And we sing. Come on. And Lord, you are. We sing glory to, glory to the righteous one. Come on, just the voices. Come on and worship your Father like he's right here, because he is. Say, glory
to the righteous one.
Come on, we are right here. Hallelujah, we are right here. Come on and sing that again. We are right there. Come on, I can see the angels with my own eyes. They're singing with us. Come on and sing glory to the righteous one. He is right here. Come on, can we sing it just one more time? Sing glory. Come on and just love on him. Come on and just love on him. We love you, God. You're awesome, God. You're amazing, God. You're worthy, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
My God is awesome.
say he's worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, so worthy, he's worthy, he's worthy, he's awesome,
awesome.
Oh yes you are,
awesome.
Somebody say he's holy,
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 he's holy, he's holy.
Somebody brag on your God this morning. Not only can he move mountains, but he moves your mountains, amen. He fights on your behalf. He shows up at just the right time. Hallelujah, that's our God. Let me hear a shout of praise. Hallelujah.
Before you.
In Revelation 4, this is what we're singing. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Almighty, the one who was and is still to come. Man, this is the one we get to praise. This is the one we get to worship. And you know what's crazy about this verse? This is angels singing it, who never felt redemption, who never got healed, who can't have eternal life in Jesus, but we can. I'll never let an angel out sing me. I'll never let him say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, while I'm quiet. I just want to encourage you, man. God didn't want to have service so we could just have service. He wants to meet with you today. He got a meeting on the calendar for today, this Sunday, to do something in your life, in my life, in our life. You know what I love about this? Oh, this is a personal meeting. It's not like, wow, worship is really good. This is nice. No, no, no. This is us. This is you. This is me. This is from the back all the way to the front. This is side. This is all of us saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. That's what God wants. That's what he's looking for. So we're gonna sing the holy part just two times. And if you say, no, I got a meeting with God today. I didn't just come to church just to go to church. I came to meet with the Heavenly Father. I came to meet with my redemption. I came to meet with the love of my life, my first love. If that's you, will you just get your hand above your head? And we're going to out-sing the angels this morning. I'm not going to let heaven declare what has happened in my life louder. Go ahead and just declare with your mouth. Come on, every voice. Come on, this is what worship is. It's not entertainment.
God Almighty.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. And you were, you are, and you'll be forever the King enthroned in glory and splendor.
Come on, with everything you have. Come on, one last time.
God Almighty.
There you go. Come on, we don't need instruments to worship. Come on, if you love Jesus, let a shout of praise out of your mouth this morning. Hey, we love you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Come on. Hey.
Man, on the way back to your seat, can you just let somebody know you got a meeting with God today? It's a little different, but come on, I want expectation in this place. We're a hungry church for a move of God. We desire to see Jesus move in our lives. Come on. If you're watching live stream, go ahead and even write right now, I'm hungry for a move of God. I got a meeting with God today. Come on. Amen.
Awesome. Why don't you guys all look at someone and tell them how great they look? Just turn to your person and say, hey, buddy, you look great. Thank you. All right. Well, first, I would love to welcome you all here this morning, especially our guests. If you are a first-time guest and you have not received a welcome packet, can you just put your hand in the air? We would love to give you a packet just to explain who we are and what we do. Also, after service, over here on my left and your right, there is a guest reception. We would love to meet you. Come meet our pastoral staff. Grab a donut or two or some coffee. That's always the best. Also, welcome live stream. Great to have you with us, you know. Say hi on the comments. Talk to our moderator. We'd love to communicate with you. Also, it is coming up to be my favorite time of year where we have our Easter egg hunt. Now, last year, we had about 2,000 people out on our front lawn getting some eggs, getting some candy, and having the best time of their life. However, we can't make that possible unless we have Easter eggs and candy to give away. So over the next 4 to 5 weeks, if you're out shopping and you see some Easter eggs and you see some candy, if you could bring them in, there'll be a bucket by the His Kids check-in desk out there. Just drop some candy, drop some Easter eggs, because for this campus alone, we need about 50,000 Easter eggs and pieces of candy, because that's how many eggs we give out to all the kids who come out. So we want to be a blessing to our community, and this is your opportunity to help us bless others. Also, who here has experienced Freedom Weekend? Let me see your hand. Okay, that is not enough hands. I promise you, it is one of the best weekends we have at the church. I've been here helping out at a couple of them. Now, March 6th and 7th is your next opportunity. It is an intense Friday night, Saturday morning time with God where you get to learn so much about yourself and about who God is. So if you would like to experience this, there in the back at the Info Center, you can sign up. It is $10 a person just to cover lunch. If you can't afford the $10 for it, let them know. I'll figure it out. If I need to pay for you to go, I will pay for you to go. But please sign up. Come experience God in a new way. And now we have Pastor Rhonda with the tithes and offering in just a second after she fills out her tithing. We do have video announcements. I'm sorry. Video announcements. Look at that.
Healer, the deliverer, the provider, the baptizer, the waymaker, the door opener, the cancer rebuker, the child saver, the marriage restorer, the waymaker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper.
The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. He quickens my mortal body. I have to be spirit led.
The church is not weak. The church is powerful. The supernatural church is unstoppable.
You can go through some things during the week that will try to put out your fire. But God says, don't worry. I got enough sticks to keep your fire burning.
Hey, are you wondering why you're here? Or maybe you're new. Can I tell you the best place for you to start is Growth Track. Every single Sunday morning at 9:30, there's snacks, there's childcare, there's amazing teaching about this church and about yourself that we'd love to have you a part. And what's great about it is it leads into the next thing for you, which could be next steps, including Rock Solid Faith and step 2 and 3, or even into groups. But we'd love to see you as a part of this church, not just sitting, but being a part of the church, which changes everything. Make sure you sign up today for Growth Track next week at 9:30 a.m.
Worship that is our tithe and offering. And this is one of my favorite parts of the service, not only because it's a part of being a group of generous people that really make an impact on our community. It is awesome to see how our finances are able to transform and literally change a community. But I'll be super honest with you. I also love the part where I'm financially blessed when I give. I get super excited about that. I don't know, maybe that's wrong, but I don't think it is. We're supposed to be blessed, and God loves prosperity of his children. So can I share a testimony with you? I am so excited. You can't argue with somebody's testimony. So if I could just have Zach and Heather stand up real quick. So Zach and Heather, just what God does. You see, increased obedience brings accelerated harvest, and they are living testament to that. You see, in 2016, 3 years ago, they made His salary was $30,000. Sorry to say that number out loud, but it's so imperative. His salary for the year was $30,000. This past year, their giving for the year was $30,000. That's how they are such generous givers. The word of God says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Oh, no, sit down, yeah, because that's just part of it. I know, I'm tiring you out. I'm standing up here. You can stand too. I want everybody to see your awesomeness. So, it, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Through generosity, it's the, their giving. They gave until it, they gave too much. You know, and we hear that so many times from people testifying up here. Anybody in the position right now where you feel like you give too much, that's okay because they were in that position. Terry and Kayla gave their testimony about how they were in that position. That's a great position to be in because now look, the overflow. But guess what? It wasn't just financially that God has blessed them. He has accelerated them so much spiritually. They now run the youth ministry in Mansfield. They're seeing salvations, miracles, signs, and wonders. Look what God has done. His word says, give and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So thank you very much. As we increase in our obedience, you might sit there and say, well, this never happened to me. We need to change our relationship with money. We need to change our relationship with money. You see, money could have our heart. And when we give according to the word of God, when we become generous with our finances, it shifts it from natural to supernatural. And not just in our, that's the cool part, not just in our finances. We get to walk in the supernatural in every area of our lives. So if you're ready to give this morning, step out of the natural into the supernatural, stand to your feet. Let's make our declaration. In this church, in this house, we simply declare the word of the Lord as our truth. And in Deuteronomy chapter 28, it's a powerful prophetic truth. So as you have your offerings in hand, let's prophesy over our lives that increased harvest. And it says in Deuteronomy 28, repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. That means our savings accounts. So if you don't have one, go open one tomorrow so that you can start being blessed in it. Okay, blessed in my storehouse. I'm blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. And I'm blessed. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, you can give right along with us. Click the giving button or text to give.
You're the beautiful one. We love your name.
Man, anybody enjoying their time at church yet today? Just a little bit. Hey, Pete Kev, can you turn me up a little bit? So if you noticed when you came in, we have some new walls being built. Contrary to what Rick is currently believing, they're not skyboxes. We want our church to look a little bit more professional. So yes, we have walls being built. They're not done, but I think they're going to look so good next week. Amen. Amen. And then I'm supposed to do an introduction, so bear with me real quick. We're going to say hi to the people that do His Word TV. So ready? 3, 2, 1. Thank you so much for watching His Word TV. Pastor Spencer is about to get into a phenomenal message today that you do not want to miss. I know there'll be distractions. Your phone's going to go off. You might need to go to the restroom, but it's okay. It's a short program that will absolutely change your life. You ready? Let's get into His Word TV. All right, outro. 3, 2, 1. Isn't God just absolutely amazing? Look, I want to encourage you. Without Jesus, I don't know where we would be. And the best decision you can make is to surrender your life to Jesus. And if you're interested in making that choice, even right now you can pray. Let's just do it together. Father, in the name of Jesus, today I declare you as my Lord and Savior. I turn my back on my sins, and I turn all the way to you for this new life that you died for. Amen. Look, at this point, you're saved, and Jesus is operating in your life. And I want to encourage you, don't just stop right there. Come to church. Come get baptized. Get in some classes, because this is a brand new life that you just found on His Word TV. We'll see you next week. Okay, now we can have church. Whew. Sorry, guys. Sorry. Wait, I lied. I have one more thing. I don't like lying from the pulpit, but this week we have youth group, and we don't always announce youth group anymore, but Thursday night at 6:30, I'm telling you, we have food. We're going to play some ridiculous games. Worship is going to be phenomenal, and you want to make sure you're here. My parents never gave me the choice to not come to church, and it worked out just fine, and I would like to argue that church is a little bit more fun than when I went. Not when Pastor Palko did it. When Pastor Palko did it, it was amazing. But some people after that, I was kind of here. But now it's even better, and you don't want to miss out. Because I promise you, God's going to show up and move in some teenagers' lives. Amen? Now, pastors in Ithaca, because Pastor Chad decided he should take his wife back to the homeland of Africa for 2 weeks. So for some reason, Pastor Chad thought he should go on vacation, and our senior pastor's in Ithaca. But it's going to be phenomenal. You'll have him back next week. Don't worry. You only have me 1 week. It'll be okay. And I like you guys. I like you guys. But hey, let's pray real quick because I'm distracted. Father, thank you for worship. Lord, your presence is what we're looking for. Thank you, Jesus, that it set it up that our spirit and our mind is prepared to hear your word. Father, I pray that we're not the same as we came, but we're impacted mightily by the plan you have for our life. In the name above all names, amen. Amen. So look, Pastor Spencer got on this thing about a year and a half ago of these EQ tests. So we know IQ is our intelligence quotient, but our EQ is like our emotional intelligence quotient. And I took one, and I was reading through it. I was like, dang, this is good. This is good. I'm doing all right. And then I got to this one word, and I didn't understand what it was, and I actually scored pretty low on it. And the word was called rumination. Does anybody know what rumination is? Maybe I was just the special guy that didn't know. So rumination is, I looked it up. I was like, yeah, this is not right. I refuse to have a low score on anything in life. So I'm reading this, and I look up rumination, and rumination is actually when you dwell on something that might have been negative, and you continue to think on it and process through what that was. And I was like, that's not me. That is a lie. This thing got me wrong. It was just like 150 questions. There's no way this thing was right. And then I caught myself. And then I caught myself again. I was like, this stinking test. I hate this thing. This is dumb. But it was so right. where I caught myself, where I know the word, I believe the word, I believe in faith what God has, but for some reason I kept catching myself in moments where things might have not looked good and start dwelling on the negative side of it instead of on the positive side of it. And this morning I want to talk to you because we know that we are a supernatural church. And that the supernatural church is unstoppable by any outside force. But can I tell you, we can stop it by an inside force. We can stop it by doubt. We can stop it by fear. And I believe that this year, we're not going to see a ruminating church. We're not going to dwell on the negative. But we're going to look at what God has. We're going to look at God's promises. See, the very first step, if we're going to be an unstoppable supernatural church, is having a mindset of miracles. This morning, if you're writing down notes, if you're taking a title down, I want to encourage you to write down a miracle mindset. A miracle mindset. Because look, I wonder, like, do I often fall short of what God had because of how I think and how I limit what he can do with my thoughts? And then I think too, like, why don't we see as many miracles as they saw in the Bible? Why don't we see as many people saved at one time? Why don't we see as many signs and wonders? And man, I believe that God wants to do more. I'm not saying you're bad. I'm not saying you're broken. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying God wants to do more. And it starts in our minds. It starts in our faith. Look, supernatural church, man, it's not just about doing church here. It's not just about miracle signs and wonders. It's not just here. It's not just about pastor getting a word of knowledge for somebody's healing at the end of worship. That's not just what the supernatural church is. If we are only seeing the supernatural in church, then we're missing it because we are the church. We should be seeing the supernatural in our workplace. I'm serious. Somebody, a broken leg, a broken arm, a broken heart. I don't know what it is, but we should be seeing the supernatural in our workplace. We should be seeing the supernatural in our families. We should be seeing supernatural things in our finances. In every area of our life that we are involved in, we should be seeing the supernatural, not just while we're at a church building. Why? Because the church is supernatural and the church is made up of believers. And we as believers are supernatural beings. See, I want to see God show up in every area of my life. You want to know when the church grows? You want to know when the church explodes? When the supernatural is a normal part of our life. And like I said, man, it's a miracle mindset. 9 years ago, just about now, Miss Carla, and when I'm in trouble, I call her Aunt Carla, Carla Vischer. We had planned Uproar Conference. And Uproar Conference was a $23,000 bill the very first year. And I went to pastor and like I heard from God. I knew we were supposed to be doing Uproar Conference. So I went to pastor, booked everything. And it was just about this time, 9 years ago, Miss Carla came to me and said, "Hey, Cody, you don't have any money, but you've spent $23,000 or you promised $23,000 out. What are you going to do?" I was like, "Well, I don't know. I know God told me to do this." She goes, "Will you at least have a bake sale?" I was like, "I just really don't feel like we're supposed to do a bake sale." And then she got a little more like forceful with me. I don't know. Finance department. She was like, "Look, you need to do something. You got no money." I was like, "Look, someone was supposed to put the check in the mail, and they didn't listen to God yet. Yell at them. Stop yelling at me." And we kept going back and forth on this. I was like, "Well, did you check the mail today?" "Yeah, we checked the mail." "Did you look on the sides? Because sometimes it sticks to the side." "Did you call the mailman? Did we actually get all of the mail today?" Just stupid. But then I had a dad call me. And it was like Thursday night, like after youth group. And he's like, "I want to meet with you and pastor Friday morning at 8:30. I was like, "Oh, no. What did I do? How did I make them angry? I pray they don't leave the church because of whatever I did that I can't remember." Just sifting through in your mind. So we get there and it's like 30 minutes of just small talk. I'm like, "All right, dude, it's my day off. It's early in the morning. What the heck? This is what we do now. Call people on their off day with our senior pastor for a small talk. All righty." Please don't. But at the end of the meeting, he stands up and he's like, hey, I want to give this to you. I know you're doing this youth conference thing. And look, we hadn't told anybody how much money it was going to cost. And he goes, I just felt God tell me to do this. So he hands me a check. And I didn't want to be weird and open it up. I don't know. You just ever been in that situation where you're not sure how to play it? He's like, no, open it. I was like, all right. So I open it and it's a $10,000 check. I was like 21. I was like, oh my gosh, I've never seen that much money in my life. Then a week later, we went to dinner with somebody and she's like, look, not at a competition, but I knew that God wanted me to give. I just didn't know how much. And I heard how much they gave and God told me to match it. So here's my $10,000 check. And in 7 days, Uproar Conference was completely paid for, which was wild. And here's the crazy part. We're now going into the 9th year, and we've seen over, yo, this is crazy, ready? We've seen over $400,000 go through Uproar Conference, and lives, like, innumerable lives have been changed because of conference. It's amazing. You know what's even cooler? We don't stand up and ask for money for conference like ever, and I'm not about to take an offering either. But last year, in April, we had $26,000 of our almost $80,000 budget. It's expensive, guys. It adds up quick. This year, in February, we already have $20,000 of our $80,000 budget. I'm telling you, God's good. God is good. But why do I say that? Because what I found in that situation is no matter what it looked like, no matter what it felt like, even though we were a couple months away from conference, if I started to go and do a bake sale when God didn't tell me to do a bake sale, if I started to doubt what God was doing when he told me to do it, if I started to try to take things in my own means, in my own way, instead of having a miracle mindset that what God said he would do, no matter what it looked like, felt like, sounded like, no matter what other people said, even though they were right, no matter what it looked like, if I threw off a miracle mindset, I might miss the miracle. See, I believe as the church, we need to think with the mind of Christ. Oftentimes, they've done studies and they'll show that how we think and how we look at the lens of life is the class that we were raised in or how we were raised. This is pretty crazy that how we were raised is often how we see the rest of our life. But isn't it wild that even though we might have been raised in poverty or in middle class or in an upper class, that now at the foot of the cross, we're all sons and daughters of the Most High God. And it doesn't matter how we were raised. We have the same God who has the same promises, who desires good things, who made us for good works, who we are complete inside of him. And it breaks my heart to think that some people can't look at God as a loving God who desires to give them good things, that desires to work in their life, that desires to do signs, wonders, miracles in their life and through their life because of how they were raised and what they saw in that kind of instance. Can I tell you, God is not bound by what your dad did? God's not bound by the financial restrictions that you grew up with. God's not bound by the theology of the church you grew up in. God's bound by his word and his promises. And it's an even playing ground for us now as sons and daughters of the Most High God. See, if we could see ourselves as sons and daughters of the Most High God, I don't think anything is too far out of the spell, too far out of asking for. Like, I don't know, he just kind of created the heavens and the earth. No big deal. He just kind of like owns everything in the world. No big deal, right? Well, he doesn't know my problem. Really? Crazy. The one who wrote the end from the beginning doesn't understand what you're going through. Mind blowing. But see, what we'll do though is like, I've seen some people where they get a hold of God, but they still live in their own mindsets. But then I've even seen other people where they get a hold of God and their mindsets and they flip-flop back and forth. Well, why isn't God doing anything? I prayed for like 3 hours and then nothing happened. Or why didn't God do anything? I gave for a week and then nothing happened. Why didn't God do anything? I don't understand. But the whole time it's a flip-flop. It's not a full trust. It's a flip-flop. Well, I'm not seeing it, so God must not be doing it. Well, it's not apparent in my life yet, so God must not be real. God must not love me. All these people made it up. Man. Doesn't James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7 kind of deal with that? But let him ask in faith, not wavering. Just say, true faith. Literally, the word faith in the New Testament is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S, pistis. And what this means is a conviction of a 100% reality. True faith is a conviction of a reality that does not shift and it does not change based upon what we can see, but what we've heard from God. But let him ask with a conviction and not wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything from the Lord. See, when we try to flip-flop between our natural mind and the Bible and his promises, can I tell you, we're actually negating what God wants to do. Stop judging things based upon what you can see, feel, hear, touch, smell, based upon what your heart is telling you. Stop judging things based upon that and judge it based upon the word and the word of God only. Because here's the truth. We were raised in royalty in the kingdom of heaven. When you made your way to the altar, when you made your way to give your life to Jesus, at that moment when you confessed him as your Lord and Savior, you are no longer who you were. The old has passed away and the new is here. And you're now raised in royalty in the kingdom. You're a prince. You're not the same. You are not what you once were. You've been raised in a royal household. Think about this. If you were raised in a royal household and we have the word of God, look, we serve a God of the impossible. We serve a miracle worker. We serve a God who blesses, a God that splits the sea, a God that shuts the mouth of lions, a God that is standing in the furnace when it gets hot, a God who conquered the grave, a God who sits at the right hand of God, praying for us even today. Well, I don't know if he could heal Aunt Susie. What are we raised in? Not only raised in this, but guess what? We were raised in something and we had our mind replaced. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says this. It says, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? It says, but we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. See, I believe we need a miracle mindset. You never see Jesus, right? You never see him showing up to somebody like, oh man, if only it could have worked out a little bit different. If only I would have showed up to Lazarus' grave a couple days earlier. We never see Jesus with this negative, ruminating mindset. We see a miracle mindset every single time. Why? Because he had the mind of Christ. He had the mind of heaven. He saw it through a lens that wasn't polluted by what we've seen or what we've heard or what we've felt. He saw it through a lens of a greater reality, and that's heaven's reality. That's what God promised us, and that's what God was going to do in the situation. See, we now have the mind of Christ. My question is, when a situation comes up, what do we think of it by? Do we think of it by our mind, or do we start to ask, how would the mind of Christ work like this? Do we start to tap into the mind of Christ? Because when we start to operate with the mind of Christ, things start to look a little bit different. Things start to feel a little bit different. It's not as bad as it looks when you realize there's a miracle worker in your mind. It's not as bad as it looks when God was creative enough to split the Red Sea. Like, he could have built a bridge. He could have teleported them. He could have done all these things. But he's like, nah, you know what I'm going to do? Split it, made it dry ground so they could walk across. We serve a creative God who does creative miracles. How do you look at it, though? When it doesn't look like you can make your bills that month, how do you look at it? When it doesn't look like your business is going to make it, when it looks like these things aren't going to work out, when it looks like your kids are never going to turn around, when it looks like that illness is never going to go, how do you look at the situation? Because you have the mind of Christ, but do you think with the mind of Christ? So we're raised in royalty. We have the mind of Christ, but that's not it. Now, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, it says, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we're united with Christ Jesus. Did you catch that? He said, we are raised in royalty. We have the mind of Christ. And Ephesians just told us we're seated with him in heavenly places. So not only do we have a new dad, not only do we have a new nature, now we have the mind of Christ for any and every situation, and also a new angle and a new perspective to look at it. Things start to shift and change when you look at it from your new perspective, when you stop looking at it from a normal earthly realm where you can only see what's right in front of you. But when you start to look from a heavenly realm, you can see, yeah, this might be right in front of me, but my God works to make things work together for the good of those who love him, according to Romans 8:28. When I start to look and see, yeah, it might be a small problem, but it's a road bump for Jesus. Might be a Goliath-looking thing to me, but from heaven, it's just an ant. From what perspective do you look at your problems? From what perspective do you look at your problems? With what mind do you look at your situation? And with what nature and what reality of yourself do you look at life? We need a miracle mindset inside of us. I'm sorry. But I think as believers, we should see more things in our hands. We should see miracles. We should be able to sit in a boardroom and be like, oh, hey, here's the problem. Boom, 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 boom. Let's do this. And then bring the solution. I don't believe we should be seated with normal people because we're seated in heavenly places. I don't think we should sit back and cower at the problems we're looking at because we have the mind of Christ. And I never saw God cower one time while he was walking on this earth. I never saw God, you don't read in the Bible. Well, I just don't know what to do with these dang humans. They don't stop acting up and it's ridiculous. And this devil guy, he's just the worst. And what would we ever do with him? It's just, you don't see God act like that. That's not our reality. As believers. Well, it lasted longer than I thought it would, Cole. That jacket is hot, guys. And my voice is cracking, apparently. Man, do you look at it impossible, or do you see a miracle? Is it impossible, or is it a miracle? Think about John chapter 6, right? Jesus is preaching. He looks up. He sees a gigantic crowd. John 6, verse 5 through 13. He sees this gigantic crowd. And he's standing there, and the Bible says this. It says, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, it would take more than half a year's wage to buy enough food for each one to have a bite. And in Luke, he said, well, unless we go and buy food for the whole crowd. Another disciple said, hey, there's a boy here with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But they won't really do anything. I mean, they might feed us disciples like a snack. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them and filled the 12 baskets with the pieces of 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten them. Can I tell you, in every situation where it looks impossible, God already has a plan. He's never one time been shocked by your situation. Never one time have you been in a situation, good or bad, where God's like, dang, I didn't see this one coming. This is hard. I've never seen this coming. Never one time has that been his reaction. Because every single situation, he knew what he was going to do. See, it's interesting, though, because I believe he asked them, hey, what can we do? Because he was seeing if they were thinking with a miracle mindset. Or if they're still measuring things based upon the natural. Philip, the accountant, was like, well, Jesus, it's like a nerd in his head. It would take about half a year. Wages and no. He started thinking with his natural sense. He started thinking through his profession. He started thinking about what it looked like and what it felt like and how it was impossible instead of thinking with the mind of Christ. But God already knew what he was going to do. See, what happens when we see an impossible situation with our eyes? Do we look at it with our schooling and our profession? Do we look at it? Do we shut it right down? Do we have a natural response? Or do we start thinking with the mind of Christ? What about this one? In Acts chapter 3, starting in verse 1 through 8, it says, one day Peter and John were going to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, and where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. And when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, and as John did, and Peter said, look at us. So the man gave him his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I don't have, but what I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped up to his feet, began to walk, and then went with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Amen. What's interesting about this? Oftentimes we just accept our negative situation. Like, think about this. We have two different mindsets in this instance. One, the man at the gate, Beautiful, and he's just, He even got so creative, he found the right people to bring him every day to the gate. He was so bold in accepting his problems that he would ask and beg for money. And he's sitting here, and he had accepted what he was going through. He had accepted this lameness. He had accepted it. But until he encountered somebody with a miracle mindset, everything was the same. See, do we accept our problems, or do we look for the miracle in our problems? Do we accept what's going on, or we start asking Jesus for healing? He said, look at me. Man, thank God for someone in that situation who had the mind of Christ. Because he said, I'm not going to accept what you're going through anymore. I'm going to give you what you really need. What about this? In John 11, we know one of Jesus' friends, Lazarus, he died. And we find Jesus, he showed up a couple days late, according to them. And he saw Mary, and then Martha gets to him. And in John 11, 21 through 26, Martha says, Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing me will never die. Do you believe this? See, she believed in an old revelation that at the resurrection he'd have life. But Jesus brought a new revelation that, look, he might have had death right now, but I'm coming and I'm bringing life because I am the resurrection and the life. How do you look at situations? How many times do we look back and think there's a missed opportunity or a dead situation that has been missed, but God's about to expose his nature in a new way to you? Well, that relationship with my child, it's dead. I could never resurrect it. Or Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Well, that bridge is burned and can never be open again. Well, that thing's gone. There's no way. I've gone too far. It's too much. Never again. But we fail to realize that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Man, we'll look like, well, if only God, you showed up on time. If only you were here. If only God cared enough. If only God did it in my timing. It could have been in my thing and it would have been great. But God said, no, I'm here right now. And I'm here right now and I'm bringing power with me because I can resurrect any situation and bring life where there's death. Amen. How do we look at things? I love the woman with the issue of blood. It's such a powerful story because she had an imagination for a miracle. She had a miracle mindset, right? We know in Mark 9 that she could have, like, should have been stoned for being in public with a blood issue. But she decided, in the Bible, I love how the Bible says this, in Mark 9, 20 through 22, she says, just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. For she said to herself, if I only touch him, I will be healed. Did you see that? She didn't say, I'm okay with my sickness and I'll just deal with it for another 12 years. That's not how she dealt with her problem. She didn't just go around and say, well, I don't know how God could heal me, so I'll never even try. She didn't look at the situation and say, well, it's been too long, so there's no opportunity anymore. She said, no. If only I can touch this Jesus. She got inside of her heart. If only I can grab a hold of him, I will be healed. See, she had a miracle mindset. She had a mindset of, if I can just get a hold of Jesus, I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't know exactly what's going to happen, but I know I will be healed. And Jesus turned and saw her, and he said, take heart, daughter, for your faith has healed you. And the woman was healed at the moment. See, I think we need to take a risk. Too often we live without faith. We live without risk, and we just accept what's been going on in our life. I'm sorry. But if we are an unstoppable, a supernatural church, if you are unstoppable and supernatural in your life, we can't just accept status quo. We can't just accept what's been happening. We can't just accept how it feels and how it looks, but we need to be willing to take a stand. Like, let me ask you this. When did life become a God that we have to serve? There's God, the devil, and people throw a third option called life in there. I'm not subject to life. I'm subject to God's promises. Romans says it like this. And soon the enemy will be crushed under your feet. So why not take a risk if the devil's going to be under your feet? Because really, faith is like this. Faith says, if I can just touch him. And what's crazy about this is we read it and say, oh, she was risky. But can I tell you, it's only risky if you're the one that didn't see it. She saw in faith, so it was no risk to her. Man, what happens when we stop thinking like a man? We stop looking at that perspective like an earthly perspective, and we stop looking at the natural. Miracles are never birthed by natural eyes. They're not birthed by a natural belief. They're birthed by a supernatural faith inside of us. And this is big things, and this is small things, this is daily things, and these are eternal things. But I genuinely believe if you can have faith for your eternity, you should have faith for anything else. Like, think about this. You believe, I believe, that God created the heavens and the earth by his voice. And then the earth was going for a while, he was heavily involved, but at a point he decided, now's time for my son to go down. He sent his son, whom he created from the foundation of the earth and intended for him to come to the earth to die for our sins while leaving heaven willingly. It would have been like kicking and screaming if you asked me. Willingly to live on earth without sin for 33 years, to then be tortured, mocked, beaten, crucified, dead, raised from the grave after 3 days of being in there, walks on earth for like 50 days being seen by over 500 people, ascends to heaven, and is at the right hand of God praying for us. And what you're saying is you believe all that, and if you believe all that, you're going to go to heaven. If you can have faith for eternity, you should be able to have faith for anything. What is healing cancer if you can have faith for eternity? But when we look at things with natural eyes, when we have a natural spirit, when we have a natural thought about it, we don't see miracles. Like, I think Elisha's servant is interesting in 2 Kings 15. Because they were on the run and he goes out. It's like morning time, wiping his eyes, starts looking, he's like, they're in a valley, and he starts looking around. He's like, oh, shoot. Elisha, we got a problem. He goes back in the tent. He's like, hey, man, we're surrounded by armies. It's going down. This is bad. And the old prophet's just sitting there. He's like, hey, go look again. And he goes and looks again. And he doesn't just see the army he originally saw. He sees another army that's surrounding that army, the armies of God. And he goes back in. He says, hey, there's more for us than against us. Man, maybe you need to look at your situation again. Maybe you need to stop looking at it with some crusty natural eyes that just woke up. Maybe you need to start and say, hey, God, what is it? What is it? Where are your armies? Where is your promise? Where is your healing? Where are these things? Maybe we need to look again. And when we look again, can we look this way? Can I teach you how to look? When we're really looking for a miracle, think about this. I think we need to think like children when we're looking for a miracle. When I was young, we had a split-level house. My dad said that he would come home, open the door, and he'd just see like spread eagle children jumping with no warning from the second floor. Thank God it wasn't as big then as I am now. Now that I think about it, that would have been detrimental to his health. But it's pretty interesting, right? That as a child, I trusted my dad so much that even when he didn't know I was jumping, he'd still catch me. I think we need to believe like a child, saying, I know the nature of my God, I know the nature of my dad, and I don't care what I've felt in the past, I don't care what other people have gone through. See, some of us build our theologies off what other people have gone through and not what the Bible has said about it. I don't care, look. It doesn't matter. If every single person I know dies of some horrible disease, I'm still going to believe that Jesus is a healer. Because that's what the Bible says. It wouldn't happen, but that's what the Bible says. He's a healer. Some of us, we stop believing like a child because of what we felt, what we've gone through, or what other people have gone through. I'm sorry, that's not how we base our relationship with our dad. Well, I'm sad they went through that, but my dad, he's not going to do that to me. Like, the nature of our Father, you know, like Elohim, our creator. Jehovah, my Lord and my God. El Shaddai, my supplier. Adonai, my master. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Rapha, my healer. Jehovah Nisi, my victory, my banner. Jehovah, my sanctifier. Jehovah Sikkenu, my righteousness. Jehovah Shalom, my peace. Jehovah Rohai, my shepherd. Jehovah Shema, my abiding presence and peace. See, when I know the nature of my dad, it's easy to look at it like a miracle instead of like a horrible situation. Saying, Dad, I'm going to jump in faith. And I know that right now I need some provision, so I'm jumping knowing your nature as a provider. I need healing, God. I'm jumping just like a child knowing you're going to catch me because your nature is to heal me. What is his nature? We need to look at our dad like a child looks at their dad. What's crazy is, according to Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6, that we now have a new and a better covenant with better promises. Stop using Job as an excuse for your illness when Job didn't have the promises that we do. And if you want to build a theology off Job, then build a theology of healing and of blessing, because within 6 months he was healed and double blessed what he had. Look, faith is a 100% belief. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. This 1,000%, you can't take it from me, you can't rob it from me, I believe it no matter what it feels like, looks like, seems like, because I'm not looking at it like you're looking at it. I'm looking at it as a son or a daughter of God. I'm not looking at it how you're looking at it. I'm looking at it with the mind of Christ. I'm not looking at it how you're looking at it. I'm looking at it from a heavenly perspective, because how you're looking at it, you can only see what's right in front of your hand, but how I'm looking at it, I can see beyond, and what I see beyond is a God who's going to show up in his nature, who's going to be a blessing, who's going to be a provider, who's going to take care of all my needs, because it's his nature to love me. See, why don't we see as many miracles? Because I don't know how often we operate in a miracle mindset. Think like a child who knows their dad and take the leap. It's not a leap when you know his nature. It's not scary when you know he's going to catch you. And that's what faith is. I saw this the other day. It made me mad. They interviewed Jeff Bezos, runs Amazon. They're like, how much information do you need about something before you make a decision on it? It's like, oh, I only need like 70% of the information and I'll make a decision. how is it that a guy that doesn't know God can have such success making decisions on 70% when we know 100% what God's going to do? He'll make a 70% decision, but we'll sit back like, I just don't know. I'm unsure if God's going to do it. How do you have a miracle mindset? Know your dad. Take the jump. Make yourself available. Now, sometimes we don't see a miracle mindset. We don't have a miracle mindset because we don't even make ourselves available to be used by God. Wake up exactly on time. So, or like snooze twice, so you have to sprint throughout your morning. You forget to brush your teeth. You nasty. We got those little wisp things in the car just in case. Because you normally do that. You run to Dunkin' because you didn't have time to eat. You get to work frustrated, upset. Mad that the kids wouldn't stop crying at 7 in the morning on their way to school. Guys, it's been single dad life all weekend because Mindy's in Houston. Whew, thank God she comes home today. I am not maternal at all. They're alive, though. They are alive and fed. Proud of myself. Man, how could you have a miracle mindset when you're just rushing through life and you're not actually taking time to look at what matters? I haven't read my Bible in 6 months. Wake up on time. Turn the dang show off. Look, I don't care who the bachelor or bachelorette is. They're probably going to break up in 6 months anyways. Okay? Doesn't matter that much. Days of our life, all those things, it's going to be the same exact thing, all right? Same person, different name, same storyline. Just keeps going, guys. It's not that valuable. Think they tried to bring back Survivor? Who cares? It died for a reason. Wasn't that good? Look, if we don't make ourselves available to know, to learn, and to do the things of God, guess what you're not going to do? You're not going to do because you didn't learn, because you don't know. Weird order, but it works. Man, why can't we set in our heart, like when we wake up, I'm available to be used by God today. It's going to be a different day. I'm going to be used by God today. I'm expecting a miracle today through these hands. I'm expecting that that bill is going to get paid off. I'm expecting that that person's going to be healed. I'm expecting that God's going to touch my boss. I'm expecting that my family member is going to be healed. I'm expecting my sciatic nerve is going to stop hurting me all the time. I'm expecting that today is the day where things shift and change. And I am fully believing that today could be the day that I see the miracle I have a mindset for. But here's the problem with that is some people are like, well, I thought it was going to be today and it wasn't today. Well, then guess what? You're a day closer. You're just a day closer to your promise. You're not a day farther away from your promise. My daughter, Sophia, she just turned 5. But last year, she did not understand Christmas Day was in December on the 25th. So it was like January. She's like, Dad, it's almost Christmas. Well, yeah, I guess to some people it's almost Christmas. It'd be like, June, Christmas is so close. It's getting there, babe. October, smells like Christmas, Dad. It's almost there. You can feel it. Like, yo, I'm with you on that one. That's true. November, Christmas music. Dad, it's Christmas. Not yet. We're really close, though. Because she doesn't understand time. She just... it's always looking forward to what she's excited about and expecting. And because I'm her dad, she trusts me that I'm not going to lie to her that Christmas Day is coming. So wouldn't faith kind of be very similar that even though it might not be this day, I know that I'm a day closer to it. But what we'll do is we'll start to blame our dad. Well, you must not really love me. You must not really care. You must not really want to heal me because it was supposed to be that day. No, no, today is a day closer to what God's promises are. You're not moving farther away from the promises. If you walk in faith, you're walking a day closer to what God has for you. Think about Abram and Sarah. They went almost 20 years. just a day closer and a day closer. And 13 years in Genesis chapter 16, Sarai looks at Abram. She said, hey, God's restrained a child from me, so go into my maidservant and let's do it on ourselves. God said that was an act of flesh. And it birthed to sin. You're not a day farther from his promise. You're just a day closer to what he has. And when we got a miracle mindset, we're excited. Can I tell you to keep confessing what God has promised you? Don't let go. Don't be moved. And walk and live like it's already done. Now, don't be a dummy and go max out a credit card. But walk and live like it's done. Have faith in God. What's the outcome? Come on. When we stop limiting the miraculous because of our mindsets, what'd they do? They gave them 5 loaves and 2 fish. You know what's crazy about this? They had 12 baskets left over when they didn't even have 12 baskets to begin with. Like, where did the 12 baskets come from? The Bible leaves out a lot of important details. I asked them, like, where did the baskets come from? Were they full? Were they half full? Were they overflowing? What'd they do with the fish? Was it salted and preserved? Or did they have to eat it that day? Just a lot of questions that start come up. But they gave 5 and 2, right? You know what's pretty cool about this? I think the Bible talks about some things. 5 is the number of grace. 2 is multiplication. When you give God what you have, he puts a grace to multiply what we have. And he gave us, and they were left over with 12. Do you know what 12 represents in the Bible? Kingdom. When you take what you have and you put it in God's hands, you know what's crazy? It's completed in his kingdom. What if we stopped limiting God by our resources and started putting our resources into God's hands? What if we just stopped asking for sustaining and we started asking and getting healing? What if instead of just counting all those past things as dead and gone and they're burned bridges, what if we started praying and say, God, bring it back to life. Bring that dream back to life. Bring that thing back to life. Bring that relationship back. Father, I'm asking and I'm looking for restoration right now. What if we started to think with a miracle mindset instead of a ruminating mindset of the negative and the bad and the things we can't figure out and the things we can't see? What if we started to think like children of God? What if we started to think with the mind of Christ? What if we started to look from a heavenly perspective because we're seated in heavenly places? See, here's the crazy thing is, that's what you are, but do you think like that? I believe God wants to blow the doors off this place this year. Not just in a service, but I believe he wants to blow the doors off in your entire life. I believe every area of your life. Why would we talk about a supernatural church? Not so we can have the supernatural on a Sunday morning only, but so that you can operate in the supernatural every day of your life. And if we're going brick by brick on this, can I tell you, you need a supernatural mindset. You need a miracle mindset. You need to wake up and say, God, I trust you. I know your nature. I'm gonna jump. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna confess it. I'm gonna live like it's done. And I'm gonna believe that today is the day. And if it didn't work today, then awesome. God, thank you. I'm a day closer. Tomorrow's the day, and the next day's the day. God, I believe what you said. Yes. See what it would look like if you stopped believing you were stuck with that sickness and you started to believe that God would heal you today. What would it look like if you stopped just believing that you got to deal with this issue the rest of your life and start believing that God can show up with a miraculous? What's it look like? What happens when we start actually believing God for miracle signs and wonders? Can I tell you, miracle signs and wonders start to flow and follow because he's not a man that he can lie. Will you bow your head with me? See, I believe that God wants to do something powerful in your life. Your life, our life, the direction of this church, all wrapped together. We're in this together. And today, honestly, the greatest miracle we could ever see is somebody going from death to life. The greatest miracle we could ever see is someone who does not know Jesus as their Savior, who's not giving their life to him, is surrendering their eternity to the Most High God. See, today, if you don't know Jesus, can I tell you? You might have the loneliness, you might have the anxiety, you might have all your problems, but before all of that, you need Jesus. He'll take care of those things, but most importantly, he wants to take care of your eternity. See, if you're in this place, you say, I don't know Jesus. I've never given my life to him. Or do you know what? Maybe I've walked away and I've been living a sinful life. I'm separate from God, and today is the day of my salvation. You feel a tugging on your heart, a direction saying that this is for you, that this is for me, and that Jesus is ready, and I'm ready for Jesus. See, today, if that's you, you're ready to get right with God. He's the only way to heaven. It's not good vibes. It's not Buddha. It's not Allah. It's nothing else. It's only Jesus. It's not being a good person. It's only Jesus. Today, if you're ready to give your life to God and turn your back on sin, will you wave your hand at me saying, I'm ready to get right with Jesus even right now. I'm ready to fully surrender. Amen. Amen. I see your hand. Come on, anybody else? It's the greatest decision you could ever make. It's not one we take lightly. It's not one that you wait on your neighbor for. It's not a family decision. It's a personal decision. Am I ready to surrender my life to Jesus so that I can have eternal life? Amen. Come on. Amen. Anybody else? Come on. I'm not going to rush this. I feel like there's more of you in here saying it, and you're struggling with this decision. It's the best choice you could ever make. It's the relationship you were designed for and created for, was to walk with Jesus, was to not only get to heaven, which seems far off maybe, amen, but it's also to get heaven into your heart. Jesus loves you so much that he died for you. You might be sitting here saying, I don't know if anybody could even love me. No, he loves you so much he died for you. I guarantee if you were at the cross, he would have made eye contact with you because it was for you. Amen. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand to our feet. And if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to take a bold step. And it's something that thousands of people have done in this building. Right over on the side is Emily and VNA. She's running away. But we want to pray with you and we want to give you a Bible. Why? Because this is just the start to the best thing you've ever done in your entire life. Amen. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to boldly get out of your seat. Maybe the person next to you raise their hand and they need someone to go with them. Will you just tell them, I'll go with you. It's not embarrassing and it's not weird. It's the greatest decision you could ever make. So I'm just on the count of three. Go ahead and get out of your seat. Ready? 1, 2, and 3. Will you guys put your hands together for them that raise their hands? Amen. 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 And I have one more question. Amen. Maybe you showed up at church today needing a miracle. I'd be ridiculous to say God's a miracle working God. I'd be ridiculous to say you need a miracle mindset and then have you sit back and not tell you that God can do it right here, right now at this altar. Today, this morning, you're saying, I need a miracle in my life. Will you wave your hand at me? I don't care what kind of miracle it is. I need God to move in my life. Amen. Right now, with your hand up, come on, get out of your seat right now. We're going to pray for you. Come on, right now. Go ahead. Come on, right now. Saying, I got faith. I got a miracle mindset that God's going to touch my life. That God's going to touch my life. I'm going to get healed. Things are going to be different. It won't be the same anymore. I'm going to get healed. Here's how we're going to do this. Ready? The worship team's going to sing. You're going to lift your hands. That's your only job. And focus on Jesus. We're going to pray for you. Pastor Rhonda's going to pray for some folks. Pastor Andre, if she's in here, going to pray for some folks. Pastor Obi, Pastor Shannon, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to believe in faith with you that he's a miracle working God. And that today is the day for your miracle. Amen. 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 Let's worship. Let's pray. Let's see God move in our lives. Amen. Go ahead and just start to sing this if you're up front. Go ahead. Come on. Your hands up. Come on. We're believing God that what he said he would do, he's going to do. If you're still in here and you need to leave, you can go. If not, I want to encourage you to stay and pray. Stay and seek after God. It's family that stays together. It's family that does these kind of things together. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that today is the day.
Forever the King enthroned in glory.